Welcome, I'm Cliff Hedges. This is Pastor Cliff's Notes. It's a podcast where we're studying the Bible. We're working our way through the book of 1 Corinthians. Today, it's episode 410, looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 12 to 16. Let's read our passage. But I, not the Lord, say to the rest, if any brother has an unbelieving wife, and she is willing to live with him, he must not divorce her. Also, if any woman has an unbelieving husband, and he is willing to live with her, she must not divorce her husband. For the unbelieving husband is made holy by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is made holy by the husband. Otherwise your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. But if the unbeliever leaves, let him leave. A brother or sister is not bound in such cases. God has called you to live in peace. Wife, for all you know, you might save your husband. Husband, for all you know, you might save your wife. This is 1 Corinthians, Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. Well, Paul's in Ephesus on his third missionary journey. He founded the church in Corinth about 5 years earlier. They've sent him a letter with questions. He's received a report of problems in the church. And so he's sending this letter of correction, this letter of instruction to take care of some of the problems he knows about, some of the questions they're asking. Chapter 7 is dealing with the issues of marriage, and he's speaking to different groups with a theme running through them of remain as you are. If you're married, stay married. If you're not married, stay unmarried. And we need to interpret each of these sections in that light. Also, with the leading statement back in chapter 7, verse 1, the comment, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. So we need to keep interpreting everything in light of that. Paul says there in verse 12, but I, not the Lord, say to the rest. Well, back in verse 10, he said, to the married, I give this command, not I, but the Lord. His point there is, it's no secret what Jesus had to say about marriage. In the Gospels, there's several places where Jesus addressed the issue of divorce. So when he was speaking to those who were married, the question is, should we get divorced? And his answer is, well, I don't need to tell you, Jesus already gave you the answers here. So here he's saying, not that, well, I'm just making stuff up on the fly, but he's saying, Jesus didn't speak to this, but I have some things to say about this. So it's not that Paul's speaking without authority. It's not that Paul's speaking without biblical warrant to what he's saying. What he's saying is Jesus didn't address this directly. Now, he's addressed several groups. In verses 1 through 7, he talked about those who are married. And the issue is they should still engage in sexual relations with one another. That's a normal healthy part of marriage, and to not do so just leads to temptation and problems. Remember that statement in verse 1, their comment, it's good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. Paul's saying, well, no, that's not the case. For a married couple, they should have sexual relations, and if they don't, there's a problem. Then the next group he talked to in verses 8 and 9 were the unmarried and widows. And I made the case and go along with the thinking that when he speaks to unmarried, he means widowers, because there is no Greek word for widower. So he's speaking to widowers and widows. And his comment to them was, it's good to remain as you are. That is, remain unmarried. The next group he spoke to in verses 10 and 11, he was speaking to those who are married, and his comment is, don't get divorced. Remember, their issue is, if it's better to not have sexual relations with a woman, then we should probably dissolve the marriage. It's, no, stay married. Do not divorce your spouse. Remain as you are. Now, the group you're speaking to today are those who are believers married to unbelievers. And the situation would be that within a married couple, one person comes to faith and the other does not. So either the husband or the wife hears the gospel, responds to the gospel, becomes a Christian, becomes a follower of Christ, but the spouse does not. What do you do? In light of their thinking that it's better to dissolve marriages, would this not be the perfect reason to dissolve a marriage? Because that is not a God-honoring marriage. The unbeliever's contaminating the marriage, defiling the belief. Paul's position is no, stay as you are. So he says, but I, not the Lord, say to the rest, if any brother has an unbelieving wife and she's willing to live with him, he must not divorce her. This is pretty straightforward. There's no nuances. There's no interpretations. It's pretty blatant. He says, okay, a brother, meaning a believer, a man, has an unbelieving wife. As long as she's willing to live with him, that is, she can tolerate him being a believer, he's not to divorce her. Verse 13, also, if any woman has an unbelieving husband and he's willing to live with her, she must not divorce her husband. The same words, the same idea here. If you are a believer married to an unbeliever, then no, you don't get a divorce because of that. No ifs, ands, or buts. That's the way it is. His instructions here are unambiguous. That's the instructions. Now, his explanations, there's some nuances and interpretation there. But the basic instructions, there's no misunderstanding them. For a couple where one is a believer and one is not a believer, the believer is not to initiate a divorce. And that's it. Now he's going to provide some explanations. Verse 14, for the unbelieving husband is made holy by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is made holy by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. Now, this is can be confusing. What's he mean by holy? Because earlier in the letter, he had talked about being made holy as salvation. We are made holy by the Holy Spirit when we come to Christ, when we are declared innocent of sin and made holy in the sight of God, sanctified. He used that language for coming to Christ. Now, this is a word that can have a lot of uses to it, to be set aside for the Lord. Now, he's not talking about salvation because he closes out this section saying, and who knows, they might come to Christ by living with you. So obviously he's not saying they're going to become sanctified in that they will be made saved by being married to you. That's not what he means. But what he is saying is they're being put in a position to hear the gospel. They're being put in a position to be worked on by God. Similarly, your children would be unclean, but as they are holy. Same thing there. Your children, by being with you, are more exposed to the things of God. So it's not that your children are declared saved because of your faith. No, absolutely not. But your children are more likely to come to faith by living with you, particularly in the context of a healthy marriage. And then verse 15, but if the unbeliever leaves, let him leave. A brother or sister is not bound in such cases. So here the case is one of the partners in the marriage comes to faith, the other does not. So you have a believer married to an unbeliever, and the unbeliever says, I can't deal with this. I can't live with somebody who's a follower of Christ. I'm out of here. Paul's instructions are then you're not bound to the marriage. They can leave. So not bound in such cases, bound to the marriage. So I'm going to say not bound in this case, so you're free to remarry. He's not dealing with issues of remarriage here. Their desire is to want to dissolve marriages. They want to be free from marriage. So he's not dealing with remarriage. It's not addressed here. So don't try and tack it on. What he's saying is not bound in that marriage. If the unbeliever leaves, then he adds, God has called you to live in peace. Two schools of thought here. Some say that means don't contest the divorce. That's living in peace. Others, and I tend to side with this group, say, no, what he's really talking about is the back to the original topic of remain in the marriage, live at peace in the marriage. Then verse 16, he says, wife, for all you know, you might save your husband. Husband, for all you know, you might save your wife. Now, what he's talking about here is through evangelizing and example. You're speaking the gospel, you're living the gospel, and that can draw your unbelieving spouse to the gospel. So he's addressed issues of people who are married. Well, they should not give up on sexual relations. They should remain in healthy sexual relationships. And to widows and widowers, it's better for them to remain unmarried. For those that are both married to believers, remain married. Do not get divorced. For those that are married to unbelievers, remain married. But if the unbelieving spouse leaves, doesn't say you have to divorce them, but it does say you're no longer bound to that marriage. And the idea being that you're the best chance for that unbelieving spouse to come to faith. Similarly, for your children to come to faith. So the context here and what Paul's dealing with here is a couple where one of them comes to faith and the other does not. He's not talking about a Christian that marries an unbeliever. And that's an issue we do need to touch on because quite often it's a tough area. People are dating unbelievers. They fall in love. They want to get married. They say, why can't we get married? Well, the Bible doesn't have a specific verse that says Christians shall not marry unchristians, but the principle is throughout the Bible. There is a passage in 2 Corinthians says don't be unequally yoked. The context isn't marriage, so it may not specifically address marriage. If you can't be a business partner with somebody who's an unbeliever, well, you certainly couldn't be a marriage partner with such a person. Throughout the Bible, the whole idea of this, what we call mixed marriages, is generally forbidden or frowned upon and all kinds of problems associated with it. One is talking about the purpose of marriage. The purpose of marriage is displaying God's image by obeying his commands and fruitfulness and dominion. It's hard to do that with a believer who doesn't recognize God as the boss. Marriage is a partnership for doing the work of God, and that can't be done with somebody who's not doing the work of God. Marriage is harmed by sin, and so being married to a unrepentant sinner is not going to work well. The Old Testament's all full of prohibitions against marrying people outside of the community of God's people. And the New Testament, it talks about, as we see here, the passage we just read, if the unbeliever wants to leave, well, you're not bound by the marriage. But if your spouse is a believer, you are bound by the marriage. The passage I mentioned earlier, 2 Corinthians 6:14, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Well, not a tighter human relationship than marriage. So marriage is a big deal. Marriage is invented by God. Marriage, the purpose of marriage is to jointly serve God with the common idea that we have to worry about what God wants, what the other person wants, and what we each want ourselves, and for one of them to not recognize the first priority, what God wants, is a problem. Where young people often get into trouble is dating unbelievers, because you can't be with someone who's a nice person, someone you get along with for long periods of time, and not develop feelings for them. That's just as natural. And the problem comes into where somebody's dating an unbeliever, then decides they're in love. And then it becomes very hard to try and convince that person you shouldn't marry this person. They said, but I love this person, so I'm sure that God has brought us together. Well, no, you've been disobedient to God in dating this unbeliever. Because ideally, two people coming together in a relationship are going to jointly draw each other closer to God. And that can't happen with an unbeliever. So my advice is don't even date an unbeliever, because in dating, there's a very strong chance you're going to start developing strong feelings. If it's someone that would not be appropriate to marry, then you shouldn't even be dating them. Have we seen cases where a believer marries an unbeliever and that unbeliever comes to faith? Absolutely, we have seen it. More often what we see, though, is because a believer marries an unbeliever in disobedience to God, they generally start to fall away from God, and it becomes harder and harder, and there starts to be resentment of the unbelieving spouse because of the devotion of the believing spouse, and the believing spouse often then will back off on their devotion to God. Comes challenges with child rearing, with one parent's a believer, one parent's an unbeliever. Who do they listen to? Are they being taught to honor and love the Lord? So my biblical advice is don't date an unbeliever. Definitely don't marry an unbeliever. If you are in a situation where you are a believer married to an unbeliever, then this is the instructions. Stay married. Honor God in this marriage. Show your faith. Live your faith in front of your spouse. And as Paul said in verse 16, for all you know, you might save your spouse. Thanks for joining me. Join me again next time as we continue working through 1 Corinthians.